Welcome to episode 15 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Joining me this week, unfortunately, is not the regular Jeff, but Jeff number two, Mini Jeff, as we've taken to calling him from Detroit, Jeff Gladchen.
Hi.
And Everardo from the land down under.
Land of no rain.
Well, we'll have a real guest from down under later. Bruce Hardy is going to be joining us from Australia to talk about Jeff Ogilvy and some other things. Now, let's get right to our first issue, first topic of the week, the match play that Jeff Ogilvy, the Australian, won. Was it an exciting final day at the match play, or did you guys fall asleep?
I watched it because I enjoy match play.
I watched it too, but I couldn't help falling asleep during most of it. It was, you know, that's the thing about match play. You don't know who's going to be the final pairing, but I thought the week was entertaining at least.
I thought that the final pairing could have been an exciting matchup, but neither one played very well. I mean, I don't care who's playing golf. If they're playing good golf, I'm engaged and interested, but it was boring. I mean, I think they went 9 holes without a birdie in the morning or, you know, something like that. So it was almost
a weird nutrition. That's why I still kind of enjoy it. It doesn't really matter. I mean, yeah, it's good to see him score well, but it's just still one guy against another.
Yeah, I like to see people at their best going at it. So
I agree.
Tiger on Wednesday or whatever it was, him versus whoever else.
Stephen Ames.
Well, that was not two players going at it at their best.
That wasn't two players going at it.
I don't know who had another good week, like, or another good round, like Tiger had that one round that could have matched up against it. You know, this week Tiger and Phil are going at it at Doral, and they're both having good play. So that matchup a week ago would have been great. As you said, that Pedigree's a match play and anything can happen on over 18 holes. Kind of like any given Sunday in the NFL, right? Would you guys like to see more match play throughout the year? Or
I wouldn't mind seeing another event or two. Again, I just like match play for the idea of two guys head-to-head.
Yeah, I love watching match play. I was pumped the whole week until the end right there.
Yeah. Well, you know what I'd like to see is one or two events per year where they played the first 5 rounds, say make it 128 instead of just 64, play 9 whole matches. And I realized really anything can happen over 9 holes, but that's part of the point. You got to come out firing, kind of put the pressure on right from the... It might be interesting to see people going at the flag from the first hole on. You know, set the flags up in hard places and really make it interesting. You know, you may not always get the best winner or the best final matchup, but it'd be an exciting week of golf, I think.
Yeah, it would. It would create a lot of attention that way.
Yeah, so yeah. I'd be in favor of that. How about the PGA Championship? Would you enjoy seeing that go back to match play?
I like seeing that as a stroke play event just because I think over 4 days of individual golf, you're going to see the actual winner. You know, where like in match play, you know, like we've just talked about, it could be anybody.
I'd like to see it go back to match play. We have a U.S. Open. I'd like to see some match play, someone have to stand on top in the match play tournament.
Yeah, I'd like to see it stick to stroke play because Tiger got absolutely no reward other than winning 9 and 8 for basically putting up 8 birdies right away.
Right.
Like you said, I don't think it identifies the best golfer over 4 days.
Yeah, if you're gonna create a champion, then it needs to be over several days.
I mean, Ogilvy went to, what, 5 overtime matches, right? Or 4 of them at least. So,
four,
you know, he barely even won his matches, but yet comes out in the end. So match play is moving to Arizona, your neck of the woods, next year, huh?
Yeah, it'll be neat. Tucson's about an hour and a half away from Phoenix. It's interesting to see that they didn't keep it from Tucson National, but that was a whole price thing of buying that out, moving that to the new course. But
yeah, the new course paid $500,000 to $750,000 to host the event through 2010. So,
which to get it in Tucson, I can see you have to pay that much.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that course holds up. Hopefully it's got a little more drama than La Costa.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm going to buy my tickets as soon as I can.
All right. Moving on here, she's now second in the rankings. She finished second in the Fields tournament, but as suspected, a good finish, and the number of tournaments that she's played in has moved her up to second over Paula Creamer. Still got some weird Japanese people on the list that probably don't even belong in the top 50, sitting at fourth and so on. I don't know what to say about this. It's a broken system at this point as far as I'm concerned.
I was in a good mood until I started thinking about this, but I'll try and get over it for the weekend.
I think it's a shame.
You think it's a shame?
Yeah, I think it's a shame. We've talked about how she's a good player and she's going to be successful in the future, but it's a shame that she's displacing someone else who deserves that second spot.
She's played well in the events she's played in. I'm not begrudging her that. She's played well in her 16 events. Obviously, to get this ranking, she had to have. It's not like she's finishing 40th and suddenly she's ranked second.
Yeah.
She's played well, but she's only played in a few events. She can really gear up for those events. She doesn't have the weekly grind of, you know, trying to make a cut, let alone finish first or second or third or whatever. And maybe perhaps not enough weight given to wins.
I don't think there is. I mean, when you have Paula Creamer, who's won 4 times last year, you know, both on natural soil and internationally, and Michelle hasn't won. Yeah, she might have done better in a certain number of events, but they need to place a better weight on wins.
We'll see how the ratings shake out over time here. Right now, Lee's in second, so we shall see. No pun intended. Palmer Nicklaus. Jeff, you wrote this article up for our site, but Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer have broken the code of keeping silent about, you know, criticizing Augusta National. What's going on here?
Well, I don't want to go on a whole rant about it. If they want to read all my thoughts, they can check the article out. I just think it's a shame what they've done to Augusta, changing it completely from Bobby Jones' vision to kind of just another long, long hole.
Yep. The main gist is that Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer said that Bobby Jones' original plan for the golf course, or his original idea on how to play golf, was to give people enough room to hit it somewhere in the fairway.
That's exactly true.
But to reward players that hit a certain part of the fairway, the left half, the right third, you know, whatever, with better angles into the greens. Now the fairways have gotten so narrow, they've put trees in to crowd the fairways, they've taken out the straw grass underneath the pine trees and put it's tough to call it rough, but, you know, grass and stuff there. Basically changing how things have been played.
It's just like they have a different definition of what a shot maker really is. Mm-hmm. Are you hitting trouble shots, or are you actually creating good shots and moving the ball, working the ball?
Well, they seem to define a shot maker now as someone that hits a longer club in, because they're actually hitting longer clubs into the greens than they used to be, according to to Nicklaus. He said the changes they made last year were good because he was hitting the same irons into par fours that he used to be hitting in. And now, number one, used to be, he said, a driver and a 6-iron. Now it's driver 4-iron. He said some guys are going to be hitting fairway woods and rescue clubs into number one.
Yeah.
And he's not talking about 65-year-old guys. He's talking about the tour players.
So. And when you lengthen some of these courses, you're just really you're shrinking the amount of winners that you could possibly get out of the event.
Well, I'm not sure Augusta hates that Tiger Woods plays well there, nor would they hate if he won the next 10. I doubt it. You know, there's something to be said there, too. Tough to say
whether
they're playing up. Points were made that tiger-proofing encourages Tiger to win the tournament. But if you're setting up a course for a tournament, who would you rather have win it? No offense, Jeff Ogilvy or Tiger Woods? So,
oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to look at that draw there. But
I think people are saying, oh, they're tiger-proofing it. They're making it easier for him to win, like as if they're trying not to do that. I think some places try to do that. We will be right back after this break and our Golf Club segment. I think they're going to talk about buying a travel bag. So we'll be right back.
When you get in a fairway bunker, choke up on the club a little bit, and I like to aim for the top of the ball.
On long bunker shots, flatten your swing.
You want to feel down in the sand and then use your instincts.
When you get a plug lie, all you want to do is take a steeper swing and explode down on the ball.
If you want to hit a punch shot, play the ball back in your stance.
When you're in the rough, you're going to want to hit a cut.
One more tip. Trust your tightness.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
Welcome back. Thank you for that segment, Golf Gods, and for the ad from Titleist. Joining us, as we promised this week, we have Bruce Hardy from the land really down under, Australia. How's it going?
Really good, thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's pretty early for you there in the morning, right?
Just coming up to 8:30 a.m., so right. I think we're 16 hours ahead.
All right, so 4 cups of coffee in. Hope you can handle us. It's tomorrow there. Wait, oh my goodness.
It is.
It's Saturday.
Greetings from the future.
There we go. So your boy won the, one of your boys anyway, won the match play. What's Australia's reaction?
Well, naturally, we're very proud, and it's nice to see a few column inches devoted to someone winning an event. And yeah, doubly so for me, because he's a Melbourne boy from my hometown here, so yeah, we're very happy to see him win.
Well, that's good.
But he's living in my hometown now, so does that count?
Well, you can claim him.
Okay.
We claimed Michael Campbell after the US Open, too.
Yeah, I was near enough. That. New Zealand, close enough, I suppose.
Sure.
So, we go ahead.
We do it for all of them, really. Yeah, Russell Crowe, he's a New Zealander too.
Yeah.
The Finn brothers split in. Yeah, we don't care. We'll just claim them all if they've been here.
Stevie Williams too, right? Or have you guys written?
you can keep Steve Williams here.
All right. So, speaking of Aussies and I guess New Zealanders or some Kiwis down there, you got quite a few for a smallish country on tour. Everyone knows Adam Scott now, maybe Jeff Ogilvie. I'll talk about some of the others.
We got, 6 in the top 50 now, and I think 13 in the top 100.
Well,
Alan B. and Appleby are also two local guys.
Right, keep going.
Mark Hensby, of course.
Yeah, we'll get to him in a second.
Peter Lonard hasn't won for a while, though. Nico Hearn, Rod Pampling.
Rod Pampling and Nico Hearn, okay, that's
I think Steve Elkington's also got an invite for the Masters still.
That's right. I think I just read that he signed with McGregor Golf, by the way. Someone's playing with Change or something. It's Everardo.
Yeah, it's me.
So anyway, Mark Hensby, I read this week in Golf Week, made some comments about after being knocked out in the match play. Never wanted to take blame, I guess. Mark Hensby tried to blame Titleist for stocking the wrong balls. Apparently he's been playing the old Pro V1Xs, and he was given the new Pro V1Xs, or the Pro V1 or something. Anyway, he was given the slightly modified version, which is, you know, they spin slightly more. The tour rep said he was given the same balls he's been given for the past year and a half. What's the general consensus on Mark Hensby in Australia? Because to us, as Americans, he seems to be just a whiny guy that, and I'm all for people speaking their minds, but he seems to go off on topics that really are beyond taboo. And
Mark Hensby has been named by Hacker magazine here in Australia as the biggest mouth in golf, so I think we concur with that opinion.
Are his opinions warranted? I mean, he's criticized Norman for not supporting the Aussie Tour enough.
Everyone tries to criticize Greg Norman for not playing the Aussie Tour enough, and any journalist who's looking to fill a few lazy column inches just knows that. Let's talk about why Greg Norman isn't playing here more often after all we've done for him, and so Mark Hensby will play right into their hands and get picked up as news pretty much any time he opens his mouth.
Do Aussie golfers as a whole support the Australian Tour enough, or should they be doing more?
Oh, I think it's tough for them, but it's a time where the Australian Open used to be considered the fifth major about 35 years ago, but in recent times it's struggled to even maintain a major sponsor.
Yeah.
And having it at the time of year, late November, Greg Norman doesn't want to come back because it's Thanksgiving, and I'm sure everyone else after 40 odd weeks of flogging around the tour, the last thing they want to do is sort of put together another 6 or 8 weeks over the Christmas break.
Do you think the Las Vegas and stuff would like it, since it's from the future, everyone could bet on the outcome and they'd know it beforehand? Right.
Well, sure.
All right.
But I mean, it didn't stop Robin Adderley coming back and winning all three of the big tournaments out here this year, and a little bit of support. But we're never going to get all of them back, and we just got to accept that.
Okay. You guys aren't Clinton fans, I guess, huh? Our last story here.
What's the story here? He's been in Melbourne this week for a speaking engagement or whatever the hell it is that he does these days. I think he just pays appearance fees to turn up in places. I don't know what people get out of that. But he was looking for a game on his way out to the airport, and one of his aides called up Midway Golf Club, where coincidentally my wife just works over the road from there, and I've played there a few times. And he was told the course was full, and sorry, we can't help you because it's our women's midweek championship. So I think they
wonder why he wanted to play there.
I don't know what it's like where you play, but the midweek women's comp doesn't have a lot of intern types.
Well,
maybe a bit close to his own age.
I don't know that he's that picky.
Yeah.
Well, perhaps you know him better than I. But
I don't know. I definitely cannot say that I do, but all right.
More Hillarys than Monicas on the course, I'd expect.
Fair enough. We'll be linking to that story in our show notes. And do you have anything parting to say here, Bruce?
Well, I'll just say thank you for all the podcasts so far, and thanks for the opportunity to get involved today.
All right. If there's any Aussie news, give us a call in the future, and we'll get you on again.
Okay.
All right. Take care, Bruce.
Bye, thanks, Bruce. Guys.
All right. Bye, Bruce. We'll be right back after this ad from Titleist.
To be a great putter, you have to be tension-free.
Trust your line and follow through. For the short wedge shot, set your weight forward and keep it there.
To create spin on a chip, mash the ball into the ground.
I've got to try that.
To hit the bump and run, place the ball back in your stance.
On downhill putts, play more break.
On short putts, focus on a tiny spot in the hole.
Be sure to accelerate.
On long putts, lean the shaft forward out of dress.
When it's this windy, try widening your stance.
And your most important tip, trust your Titleist.
You can learn a lot from the world's best players.
And welcome back. We're on to our beating balls segment. Bruce is still with us. We're going to keep him along for the ride here. Just three quick stories here. Two guys that haven't won in a while, Kirk Triplett and Pate. I'm blanking on his first name for some reason, Steve Pate.
Oh, come on, Eric. It's,
right?
It's Jerry.
Steve, Jerry, whatever. Steve Pate. I don't know why Steve Pate stuck out in my head. Anyway, the guy hasn't been in the news for that long, so there you go. I try to ignore him when he's on TV. two guys that haven't won in a while win some events. I was really kind of surprised to see Jerry Pate win. I mean, he hasn't won in 24 years since he played an orange ball at the Players' Championship. Kirk Triplett, you know, kind of had a weaker field to go up against, I guess. So, you know, surprised to see these guys win or what?
I'm not surprised to see Triplett win in Tucson. Tucson for the past couple of years has been won by not necessarily unknowns, but maybe first time winners. It's a weaker field. But yeah, it's a good event for people to just take the opportunity on. So,
and Pate?
Pate, that was just a cool feel-good story to see win. Not winning in 24 years, and when his first thought is jumping in the water again, so.
And he did, I guess, huh? So.
Yeah.
Oy, I'm not sure I'd do that. At his age, he's likely to get pneumonia and die, so.
Might as well make the jump at least then.
Right. What the heck? Yeah. Hopefully he'll win before another 24 years pass, but I wouldn't count on it. Mandatory attendance in limited field events. That's a topic going around. Basically, there were two players that didn't show up for the World Match Play, and they had to be filled by number 65 and number 66, I believe. Ernie Els has skipped out on it in past years. Should there be mandatory attendance at the limited field events, like mostly the World Golf Championship events, and should there be mandatory attendance?
I think for certain events, like maybe the new FedEx Cup, there should. If you want to participate in the 2000 FedEx or 2007 FedEx Cup, then yes, you should.
You just mean the three events at the end or four events there at the end, though, right?
No, I'm talking about the whole series. Kind of similar to
the series,
like,
runs from January to September. I mean, that's the whole whatever.
No,
the cup stuff itself is the four events there at the end. So you're just saying for those four events?
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry, I should have explained that a little better. But for the smaller events. I mean, what are you going to do? Penalize the guys if they don't show up? You're going to fine them $10,000 or something like that?
Fair enough.
That's why these events like the WGC have such huge purses to draw these people in. I don't think it needs to be regulated. No mandatory attendance necessary.
Bruce, you had something?
Yeah, I think attendance should be mandatory at the World Golf Championship, and I also think that they should be playing it in places like Melbourne.
Well, that's something else I wanted to bring up. People have said it's called the World Golf Series, the World Golf Championship, but it's not played around the world. They got Tucson has it through 2010, and two other places, both in the United States. Doral now has one of the events, and I forget the third, but all of them have locked it up through 2010, and that leaves like two events outside the United States. Should it be played more around the world, and would that be a good or a bad thing?
I think you're going to find the quality of courses best in the United States compared to a lot of other places. Not that you can't find it in other places. I'm not trying to pick on any other countries, but the quality of courses, we definitely have a greater pool here. It would be nice to see these players play worldwide. I think it's just a travel thing and logistics thing.
Yeah, well, that's why I think it's unlikely we'll see it, because the sponsors are going to see less of a return if, you know, Tiger Woods doesn't want to travel to Indonesia or even England, you know, 1 week out of the year. For an event, as far as the match play goes, where you might only be there for one day, I think travel and sponsorship is a big issue that may prevent it from doing it. I'd like to see it in other places, just because I like to see different parts of the world and the golf courses that are there. I think it's unlikely. Bruce, obviously, yeah. you want it played around the world a little bit more.
Well, absolutely, but, you know, we kind of used to that. You know, the U.S. is the country of the World Series, where other countries from around the world aren't particularly invited to compete there either. So.
Right.
That's right. I don't think you could field a football team that would beat most of the NFL teams, but the baseball teams, I don't know. I think Cuba and some others would put up a good run. But that's right. We'll let you keep cricket and stuff. All Jeff? Right. Jeff, you have anything?
Oh,
sorry to wake you.
sorry about that. I agree with what you said and Everett said. I'd like to see it played throughout the world, but I don't think that we're really going to, that's really an option. The sponsors aren't going to want to see that, and if the players aren't willing to travel, then the fields are going to be less stacked.
Okay. Last topic this week, Davis Love III played in the finals of the match play. Didn't play particularly well, as we said. Is he going to win soon? Who's going to win first, Davis Love III again or Michelle Wee?
God, I hope it's Davis Love.
But, I mean, it's been a while. He's been injured, and he looks good, but I don't know.
He's just one of those slow, steady players that just kind of sneaks up on you. He just needs the right course at the right time for him. I mean, he stayed consistent throughout his whole career for the most part.
Yeah, could be at the Players' Championship. He's played well there. Bruce, what do you think?
I don't really care.
Okay. Well, there we go.
I think we'll see Michelle Wee win on the LPGA Tour before Davis Love wins on the PGA Tour again.
Even with her limited number of events?
I think so.
Okay. How much are you betting on that? Just your nickname, right? Mini Jeff?
Yeah, just my nickname.
Okay. Yep. If Michelle Wee wins first, we'll find another nickname for you. Until then, it's Mini Jeff along with Everardo and our guest Bruce Hardy. I'm Eric Barzeski. This was episode 15 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Drop by, check out our forums at thesandtrap.com/forum, and say hello. Thanks for listening. Take care. Thanks. We'll see you next week. Everardo?
Yep.
You could say bye or... You could add it now and I can stop out laughing.
Take care, guys. Have a great weekend.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.